The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, April the 24th, 2017. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 150th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, Hyperallergic ran a story on the publication of Botanical Shakespeare, an illustrated compendium of roughly 175 mentions of plants in Shakespeare. The Telegraph ran an op-ed by their theater critic bemoaning the state of Shakespeare in London these days, a commentary prompted by a passing of director Michael Bogdanov last Sunday at the age of 78. The Indianapolis Star ran a piece on the name change of the Heartland Actors Repertory Theater to Indianapolis Shakespeare Company, or Indy Shakes for short, and their upcoming summer production of As You Like It. The Winona Post previewed this past Sunday's Bard, Beer, Birthday celebration by Great River Shakespeare Festival and the Island Brewing Company in Winona, Minnesota. The Telegraph was one of many media outlets that ran the story of the bizarre turn of events the search for a new artistic director at Shakespeare's Globe took place. Both the current outgoing artistic director and the one who immediately preceded her wrote open letters to the applicants warning them of the cabals, connivers, and the personality problems that come with the job. To the Globe's credit, not only did they post the letters to their website, but sent out an email to all of their subscribers pointing them to the story. Gotta wonder if this is going to scare off any potential applicants. The Houston Chronicle ran a piece on the relevancy of Shakespeare in today's world, pointing out the documentary Romeo is Bleeding and the Teaching Shakespeare in Houston program. DC Theater Scene ran the announcement by Chesapeake Shakespeare Theater of their 2017-18 season, including Julius Caesar, The Winter's Tale, A Midsummer Night's Dream, and a new play, Red Velvet, that tells the story of the first production of Othello with a black man in the lead role. The Charleston Gazette-Mail previewed an upcoming lecture on the relevancy of Shakespeare's works on April 30th in Charleston, West Virginia. Entertainment Weekly was one of the many media outlets running the announcement by TNT that their Shakespeare series will premiere on July 10th. What's on Stage ran the results of their recent online survey of who the favorite couple in Shakespeare is. And to no one's surprise, the winner by a freaking wide margin is Beatrice and Benedict from Much Ado, who garnered nearly half of all balanced cast. In second place with a measly 8% were Lord and Lady M. Time Out New York ran the story that it's almost summer. Not news I know, but summer in New York City means, for most people, Shakespeare in the Park. But Time Out previewed an alternative, Shakespeare in the Parking Lot, which will present Merry Wives of Windsor, Twelfth Night, and The Tempest this summer in Bryant Park. Broadway World ran the release of Adirondack Shakespeare Company's spring repertory season in Schroon Lake in New York State, including a gender-swapped Macbeth plus Cymbeline. The Los Angeles Times ran a story on the Folger Library's digital archive of Shakespeare-era texts available online. It's good free stuff for the scholar in your life. In a piece from the New York Times, author Jeanette Winterston reviewed the new work of criticism by Harold Bloom, Falstaff, Give Me Life. It's a positive review. I'm not a huge fan of Bloom myself, but I may need to pick this one up. And finally, all you budding playwrights out there, America Theater ran the announcement by the American Shakespeare Center in Staunton, Virginia, of their 20-year plan to present a new canon of 38 modern companion pieces, one for each play. The twist on the idea, already in the works at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, is that these won't be commissioned plays, but rather the winners of an international playwriting competition. The first two plays are both Falstaff pieces, The Merry Wives of Windsor and Henry IV Part I. The deadline for submissions is February of next year. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On April 18th, 1593, Shakespeare's poem Venus and Adonis was entered into the Stationer's Register. Less than 2 months later, it was published in a quarto version. On April 19th, 1390, Robert II, King of Scots, died. He was one of the kings that sits between Banquo and Macbeth and James I of England, who was also James VI of Scotland. On April 20th, 1442, Edward of York was born. Son of Richard, Duke of York, he would grow to become Edward IV of England, dethroning Henry VI. He appears in parts 2 and 3 of Henry VI as well as Richard III. On April 21st, 1509, Henry VII dies and his son Henry VIII begins his reign. Henry VII appears as Henry Tudor in Richard III and becomes king at the end of that play. On April 22nd, there were three deaths of note. In 1782, female pirate Anne Bonny, one of the pirate queens, 1989, Black Panther leader Huey Newton, and 1993, the head of the United Farm Workers, Cesar Chavez. No Shakespearean connection at all, but can you imagine what their stories would have been like in blank verse? On April 23rd, 1616, some guy named William Shakespeare died at the age of 52. On April 24th, 1564, William Shakespeare was born. Or maybe it was the day before. We're not really sure, though most believe it was the 23rd, if for no other reason, that it makes the whole birthday-death day connection a thing. But we do know he was baptized 2 days later in Stratford-upon-Avon. And that was your week in Shakespeare. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending April the 24th, 2017. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.